I've already lost my intro.
Because I was like, are you going to go with this, a shorter one or a longer one? Because a lot's happened.
I mean, a lot's happened, but there's two specific things we're probably going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
One is I went to PAX.
Yep.
And the other is we went to and saw the Justice play live.
Yep.
And I feel like those are the two major things we should talk about, because that's us. You know, that's...
Gaming.
Gaming, yeah. And you clearly haven't been playing any video games, so...
Have you?
Yes. Duh. I beat Slay the Spire. Like, I actually finished the final act.
All right. I did see that. I was about to challenge you on your, like, you haven't been, like, tweeting your numbers as much, and so...
Well, so I've started this thing called a bullet journal. I don't know if you've heard of those or not. Oh, wait, did I mention this to you before? You
mentioned this to me IRL.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I haven't mentioned it on the podcast, but I've started doing this thing called a bullet journal. It's like to organize your thoughts and sort of get things in a row. And, like, your brain, a lot of times, you feel like, especially I have anxiety a lot. And so I feel like I don't accomplish as many things as I want to. And so the bullet journal kind of helps you, like, look at tasks, and you can organize it any way you want, but basically it allows you to sort of be like, oh yeah, I have actually done shit. You know, that sort of thing. And so I realized the thing I was doing with my tweets of like, I've beaten this game, I've played this game, this is what you I played today,
bullet journaling.
I was bullet journaling my games and tweets. So I just at that, when I realized that, at that point I kind of just started doing that in the journal instead of online.
What? I thought, oh, I was like, you should just bullet tweet everything.
I'm not going to bullet tweet everything. Are you crazy? I'm not going to, like, everyone's going to unfollow me if I do that.
I feel like this closeness because I'm just following along and I feel productive because you're productive.
Well, I'm not going to, like, stop it entirely. I'm going to, like, do, like, monthly updates, like, at the end of March. This is where my stats are, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not, like, abandoning it completely, but I'm moving away from, like, daily tweeting it.
Because I would get, like, daily, and it's like, oh, he played some video games today. And I feel like we, as a gaming unit, were productive. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, man, he played a lot of video games today. All right. Well, he did some, like, that fit exercise one. So good for him. Get some reps in. So I'm, like, following along, like, what you're doing.
I didn't realize that. Maybe I'll keep doing it then. I don't know. That is not what we're here to talk about. Or it kind of is. I guess it's about video games, right? Yeah, I don't have anything else. Is there any sort of wacky thing that happened to you that you want to talk about?
I'm good for now.
Okay. All right. I will start off the intro by the weirdest conversation snippet I heard at PAX. I was walking by and there were these two, I don't know, they looked around college age kids chatting, and I heard two things. The first sentence was the end of a sentence, and what I heard was, so he's building another cage. And then the person replied, well, that's because he keeps hosting all these sex conventions. And that's all I heard.
I mean, not where I thought that second sentence was going to go. I was like, people have lots of reasons to build cages.
Like, yeah, but yeah, that was like...
But I mean, if you got a lot of sex conventions...
That was the conversation that I had to really, like, stop myself from, like, stopping and being like, what?
What? I mean, were they dressed up?
I wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
So I was just walking from point A to point B, and this was like a thing happening because, okay, like, there's all sorts of random shit going on at PAX. Yeah.
Are there sex conventions at PAX?
You
can't say no to that.
I mean, PAX isn't a sex convention. Let's just be clear about that.
I know that, but I didn't say that. I said, are there sex conventions, like, alongside, adjacent?
Sex. Wait, no. It would be convention adjacent. It wouldn't be sex adjacent.
Depends on how you do it.
No. All right, cut to credits. We're done.
It's a gamer. Da-da. We're here. It's a gamer. Da-da. This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
And you've got your nice Justice jersey on. I'm not wearing that because I'm, you know, post-work, my day job. But you apparently had the chance to go home and get yourself in a jersey and hype yourself up for this podcast.
For this podcast, I will wear this jersey every time. You just have to say it that I'm wearing it every time.
Oh, okay.
This is easy to do, T-Man.
So, first thing is, we're going to start adding video to our...
No, we're not.
All right. So, Harvey Z Snaps. We're going to start with... it's kind of... How do I want to put this? I'm taking out a little aggression on this one.
Okay. Letting out some stuff.
So, on the one hand, the Paris Eternal. On the other hand, the London Spitfire. Which one are we getting rid of?
Okay. And so, for those of you who don't get, like, T-Man's sudden dislike of, like... other countries. These are Overwatch League teams that recently have played the Justice.
And they both beat them. Like, we watched both these games. And we'll get to it. We'll get to them in a minute.
So I'm just destroying them and removing them from, like...
the Overwatch League, yeah.
Am I killing these folks? I'm Thanosing them, so they're disappearing.
Yeah.
So I don't feel so good.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I think I know what the answer should be.
To keep it family-friendly...
somebody's going to come along and defeat me and, like, restore all my wishes.
Well,
and...
No. Let's... I feel like...
I'm just destroying the franchise.
I don't like the idea that we're, like, murdering people, even if it's hypothetically.
Okay.
So, like, what you're destroying is the entity, the owl corporation entity. Like the team is gone. The players can still exist. We're not killing anybody.
We're just firing them and taking away their livelihoods.
Yes. There we go.
Okay.
I mean, they can still keep playing on Twitch or whatever, you know? We're not,
yeah. It's just a game.
They can join another team. We're just getting rid of this specific, like... Okay. It's like, if you gave anyone the ability to remove the Patriots as a team from the NFL, like... if you're not from Boston, you're going to remove the Patriots from the NFL. Like, even though if the players go somewhere else, like, you're removing that fucking entity and you don't have to watch the goddamn Patriots anymore.
My Patriot hate has... well, it depends on what Brady does, but that's other types of gaming.
Yeah.
Coming back to this one.
Yeah.
This is a really niche question because if you haven't watched the two matches...
you know, fuck it. We're Overwatch League fans here. Okay. If you're listening to this, you're going to learn this episode, okay? Also, go back and listen to the episode where we live streamed watching an Overwatch League episode.
But that doesn't have anything to do with this one.
But we do a lot of explaining as to what Overwatch League is in that sense.
Yes. But big picture stuff. So we were supposed to potentially have... won both of these games. The London one.
Don't go too far. Like, we're gonna get to this.
Okay, so, like, then I'm just gonna snap out Paris, and they're gonna find out why later.
Okay, so you're choosing Paris over London.
I feel like that's the right thing to do, because excitement-wise, I feel like Paris might have been the more exciting match, but I'm getting rid of it, because it's greater threats and competition.
Okay, so you're going the competition route, because you think we can actually beat London.
Yes, I'll go with that.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. That's fair. Like, it's not like the heartbreak of the loss specifically.
No.
See, this team is more possibly can hurt us.
Still exists and such. We remember what happened.
Yeah, but going forward, the Paris just doesn't play anymore.
Justice was served. A team just disappears after that match.
Where did it go? Who knows?
Why did it happen? We all know why.
All right, so why don't we go ahead and get into the Overwatch League stuff? So this weekend, or not this weekend, 2 weekends ago now, I guess.
From a fortnight?
Isn't
that a fortnight? 2 weeks?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
How does he know shit? Yeah.
Why was I thinking it was 20 days? Was I thinking like a score for something?
Oh, God, I don't know what a score
is. Anyway, because like 4 score and 7 years ago, I was 87, right?
I don't know. Sure.
Sorry. Yeah. We're going into math randomly.
Like,
the absolute fear in Harvey Z's eyes when I asked him a math question, like, you had to see it. Like, it was just like deer in headlights. What? Huh?
Like, you just said 87, and I'm like, how did that number even come up? What am I supposed to... do I divide, like, 87 by 4 and I get the scores? Is that a year? What are we doing?
Okay. So anyway, 2 weekends ago was the inaugural DC homestand. In Overwatch League this year, starting this year, they're like traveling each week. There was supposed to be an Atlantic and Pacific like homestand each week, but the Pacific homestands have kind of gotten fucked because of coronavirus.
And they don't look like, in my random opinion, being unfucked anytime soon.
So originally weeks 2 through 4 were supposed to be in Chinese homestands. And then week 5 was in Seoul. And then weeks, I think, 6 and 7 were back in China. And so originally it was going to be like week 5, 6, and 7 were all going to be played in Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
And like they'd make up the 2, 3, and 4 in that time frame as well. What actually ended up happening was then right before, like last week, South Korea had like a much bigger outbreak. So like it was just like, shove all the teams on a plane, get them to the United States.
Yeah.
And I think most of them made it. The biggest problem is that the Chengdu Hunters are an all-Chinese team, and they've kind of been locked into China. So, like, they're the fuckediest of the fucked.
They didn't get out?
They didn't get out. They're still in China.
Wait, this is a video. Can you play, like...
Like, they can do that sort of, like, over-the-internet match, but, like... lag and all that sort of like ping, it would actually affect it as opposed to like all the other teams getting to play on LAN. And so I don't know what their solution is they're looking at right now, but like Chengdu is unfortunately, they were the only all Chinese team. And I think the other teams were made up of like Koreans and Europeans and that sort of stuff, even though they were Chinese like in branding. So I think most of the Pacific teams are in the States now, and they're just trying to figure out what the fuck to do. So like the first Pacific homestand that was supposed to be back in the States again was week 8. So we've got another 3 weeks before that. So we'll see kind of what happens. But anyway, it's put like a weird twist on the league because there's like a bunch of teams that haven't even played a game yet. And like a bunch of teams that have only played like one game because they're in the Pacific division. And so, like, we're getting, we have, like, all this data on all the Atlantic teams, which includes the Justice, but we have no idea how good some of these other teams are in comparison.
And, like, I've been hearing things, this might be for another talk, stuff is happening in the game, like, there's, I don't know what a hero pool is and stuff.
Yeah, so hero pool starts this week, and we'll get to that.
And so, like, the old teams, what are they, or do they play the new version?
That's another thing, like, do they get... like the 3 weeks without the hero pools, like play those matches like they would have played them, or are they all hero pools? Like this is stuff that we're waiting on, and Overwatch League has just kind of been like, we'll tell you when we know what we're doing. And that's like kind of all the behind the scenes stuff has got to be fascinating right now, like how they're trying to
like
work this.
Yes, like, there's a whole government crisis and stuff, but it's nice to focus in on like the video game crisis of, like, what are we doing about this virus thing?
And, like, it's also, like, the first year they're doing this. So, like, this being a problem that them... It's really weirdly fascinating in a way. Obviously, I don't want to downplay the fact that, you know, the coronavirus is killing people. So, we still got to go to the homestand because we're...
Atlantic.
We're Atlantic. So, the DC homestand had some... real interesting games. If you don't know the way the homestands work, is they'll play 2 to 3 games, sometimes 4 games, in one day. And they're both Saturday and Sunday. So it'll be anywhere from 4 to 8 games. And each team will only play a maximum of 1 game a day. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, in fact, I think all the time, the home team will play 1 match each day and usually be like the anchor match, the last match of the day. So the first match we saw was New York
Excelsior, versus a good team.
No. So Sunday was New York versus Philly, which was the good matchup. I think the first one we saw was New York Houston.
Was it? Or I thought that was the other way around. It was Philly versus New York the first time. Because day 2, you said, were going to be more like squashes.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, it was Philly-New York the first one. And surprisingly, Philly ended up winning. Like, everyone thought New York was going to carry it, but Philly ended up being surprising. And they're like 5-0 now. So they're like one of the top teams. And everyone's like, holy shit. So that was a good match because that was like two good teams playing each other.
And as a person who's not following like the actual league, and like these were the matches I saw of, I guess, this season, it was really exciting as a non, I wouldn't say a non-fan, but a casual fan who doesn't watch these things on Twitch. I really love the live setup, the way they have like the giant screens and everything. Like, even if you're a casual fan, I would say these things are fun to check out.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The crowd gets into it.
Yeah.
They have good announcers and like casters and stuff. It was fun. The second match on Saturday was amazing for a completely different way. Like,
yeah,
the first one was two really good teams fighting. The second one was Boston versus Houston, and they were literally the two worst teams in the league, and they were having an all-out brawl to figure out who was worse. Like, it was the long one. I want to say it's the longest match in Overwatch League history. So this year they switched it to a best of five format, where it's the first team to win three matches moves forward. And the way it worked previously was they played four matches, and if there was a tie after four, they would go to a fifth to break the tie. But otherwise, it was just like if it was 2-0 or 3-1 or whatever, that at the end of four, whoever had the most would be winning. So this one, the first match Boston won, the second match they drew, third match Boston won, fourth match they drew a second time. So they had to go to the fifth match, which then Houston won, and then Houston won the sixth match, and then Boston finally pulled it together and won the very last one in the seventh match. But it went as long as it could possibly go. Like, there isn't a way for it to go any longer.
Yeah. It was one where, like, I literally at some point just left to go get, like, food and beer, and I was gone for, like, an hour, and I came back.
And they were still going.
And still enjoyed this match's conclusion.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And it wasn't like two top level teams like footsieing and like really trying to. It was like garbage time the entire match. Like they were trying not to win at some point.
There were professionals who stupided.
Yeah, that one was. it was amusing, yes. But it was also like. It was. That match was weird, like weirdly fascinating. Like it was a dip. Like I was excited at the beginning, and then around like map three or four, I'm like, Jesus fuck, this needs to end. And then when Houston started coming back and like they won the next two, I was like, my excitement level was going back up. I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. Like now they need to pull the comeback off.
Like in a match where it should be a best of five, it took seven matches to settle a best of five contest.
Yeah, first to three took seven matches. Yeah, it was ridiculous. If you have the, like, I don't even know if I would recommend watching it. Like, if you want to see, like, fascinatingly bad play with occasionally really good play by, like, one guy, you might want to watch the match. But it was just so weird.
I do think it was. Not the long, like, it was, they were mentioning this was one of the longest sequences, like, I mean, this year hasn't been fully played out and such, but it's definitely for this year. I don't know for overall.
I
mean,
I think it's the first time we've had a double draw in a match, even, like, within the last two seasons. Like, yeah. Normally they draw maybe once. And then we got to the Justice Paris match on Saturday, Justice London was the second day.
Oh, maybe I killed the wrong team. What have I done?
Oh, you meant to kill the London?
The Sunday team is the one I wanted to destroy.
The one that came back after we were up 2-0?
Oh.
Yeah, that's why I was like,
oops, sorry, Paris.
I should have made sure about that. That's my bad. I feel bad for Paris now.
I just snapped out the wrong people.
This is what happens when we give Harvey the power. He just like, oh yeah, Paris, get rid of them.
Are we absolutely sure that Paris was
not? Okay, listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's me here, okay? I'm not going to give you bad information.
Okay.
What you do with that information, I can't control, but I've given you the right information. So Paris was like, preseason, people had a lot of questions about Paris. They brought in a bunch of new Korean players and kept all their French players. And so they were like trying to figure, and they were like working like this weird like Korean French team. And they had some good players, but like two of their best were like under 18, like when the season started. So they were they didn't know where Paris was going to fall. And it turns out Paris is pretty good. And so...
Not just pretty good. They seemed...
Really good.
Really
good. Yeah. So, like, Paris is an upper tier team at this point. At least from what we've seen with them playing the Atlantic Division. Who knows with all the weird Pacific things going on. But so this match could have gone either way before this. Because coming into the match, both Paris and Justice were 1-1. Mm-hmm. And, like, Justice had looked good against a really good team, Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And they won 3-0 against Houston.
Which now we know is, like...
They should have won if they're a good team.
Yeah.
So, like, we didn't know at the time that Paris was actually pretty outstanding. So, it was going to be an even match. And it turned out it wasn't a bad game. Like, Paris ended up winning 3-1. It wasn't, like, super... Like, it was disappointing. But, like, it felt like a good game.
Yeah, it was one where I felt like, actually, Paris was the better team. But, like, we were holding our own against a good team sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, in our one victory and in the other times, it was like, oh, we had, like, it's like, okay, this isn't the end. Like, there's still hope for us. Like, I mean, Philly was a great team and we lost to Philly. They're undefeated. Like, Paris might be that sort of a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'd just like to point out, every time a new person watches a match with the Paris Eternal, the first thing they always ask is that a fucking rooster? Like, and I have to explain every time that the rooster is apparently the French, like, national animal or something. And that's why the Paris Eternal have a rooster as their logo. So just FYI, if you see the Paris Eternal logo and you're thinking to yourself, why the fuck is it a rooster? That's the reason.
We have the bald eagle. They have le coq. It is the rooster. It is. I'm not even like.
No, I was trying to just, get through it without saying coq.
Okay.
That's all.
I mean, I speak French. I'm a cultured man.
Yeah, cultured. That's it. So that was Saturday. It was good. It was long, but I was hyped. But I was also tired. And let me tell you, now that I've done 2 days in, like, back to back days, I can't do it again. Like, I'm excited for Overwatch League, but back to back, like, having to do Saturday and Sunday, doing like 8-9 hour days of this, with including travel and everything, like,
it came out to, like, we calculated, like, 18 hours was spent that weekend on just, like,
yeah,
whew.
Yeah, I mean, it, I enjoyed it, and I definitely do a single day of it again. And like, maybe, like, plan a little better, like, maybe not watch all three matches, like, leave, come back, like, go get dinner, come back or something. But it's like a good serious chunk of time, and it started at 3 p.m. our time, so we weren't getting out until like 9:30. And, you know, it's in a club, so there's not like good dinner options, and you're there kind of there for dinner, and when you get out, you're just like past dinner time. So it was weird in that sort of aspect, and like,
I can't tell if you're old and complaining or if, like, these all seem like reasonable things to me as, like, these should be things that they should think about.
No. I think it's...
We're not just old here.
No. So, football games are probably an all-day thing. Like, if you go to an NFL game and it's from, like, 1 to 4, you're probably leaving somewhere between 10 and 11 to make sure you get into parking. And you're, like, taking in the pregame stuff. Like, then after the stadium, you go home, you have dinner. But, like, this... The way it was structured, the times it was, they don't give you much
break. Yeah.
You know, like, there isn't like a halftime, an intermission, there's like 10 to 15 minutes between each match where they kind of set up the computers for the new people. And like, they go back to the desk for like some analysis, but they don't, it's one after the other. And if a match goes to 7, like, the Houston Boston did, like, that was like 2-2.5 hours where, like, if you wanted to see the whole thing, you, like, there wasn't any opportunity to leave. Yeah. Like, it
pushes back the other matches, that match has to start sooner.
It's logistical things that are interesting to think about. So then Sunday, let's go ahead and move into Sunday. First match was, that one was New York versus Houston, I think.
It was.
Yeah, and that one was just, I'm sorry,
I think we were, Houston. I was rooting for Houston to win a match.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, it was 3-0. And then the next one was Toronto versus Philly, which turned out to be a good match.
Yeah.
Like, I think Toronto almost pulled off a reverse sweep. I think, like, Philly won the first two, then Toronto won the next two, and then Philly ended up winning the last one. But Toronto put up a good fight, which was good. Sherfour is on Toronto, and he's one of my favorite players. Hmm. So I was excited to get to watch him play, and it was a good time. That was another, like, pretty evenly matched, like, good Overwatch play sort of game to watch, where it was entertaining. When you don't have a stake in it, it was very entertaining. Anything that
I agree, like, that was probably the highlight of that day.
Yeah,
as opposed to the Houston,
like, yeah, the Houston one was a little weird. I mean, not weird, just like you knew what was happening in that one.
Yeah.
And now we talk about the London Washington match. So I've never really been heartbroken at sports. Like, I've rooted for teams. I've rooted for the Washington Nationals. I have the Jacksonville Jaguars are just like a perennial disappointment to me. So I don't like ever get my hopes dashed whenever they lose because I just expect them to lose. You know, and like even when the Patriots win the Super Bowl or the team I want to win the Super Bowl doesn't win the Super Bowl.
Oh,
like I don't get, it doesn't like affect me emotionally. Like I'm like, oh shit, they didn't win. I'm sad for like 5 minutes and then I move on because it's just a sports game. This one, like, I was upset the entire metro ride home. Just like, it fucked with my mood. Like, I got into it and it was bad. So here's what happened. London is, like, it's weird. They've gone on, like, after beating the Justice, they've gone on a 3-game winning streak. So they're now 3-2.
Okay.
So, like, they're pulling shit out of their ass, but they're like a completely rookie team. What London did over the offseason was basically traded away every single one of their players except for one and bought in a whole new squad of rookies. So no one knew how they were going to do. People figured they'd never heard of most of these guys, so like they figured it wouldn't be that great. They seem to have good teamwork, though. They're starting to pull things together, although they're not – they're still not – people are kind of thinking they're getting lucky against lower-tier teams because, like, one of the teams they beat was Houston.
Oh, like, I mean, at this point, like, everybody...
Houston beat Toronto.
Whoa.
Yeah, so, like, it's, you know, any given Overwatch day, I guess.
Yeah.
So, London is now 3-2. We're still unsure if they're good or just, like, getting lucky. Because, like, apparently, what I learned after this is that, like, nearly everyone on the Justice was sick.
Oh,
when they were playing with, like, the flu. Mm-hmm. And they were, like, playing with, like, a fever. And so they were already at half capacity. So I'd be interested to see this matchup again with, like, them actually being able to play well.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, not, like, dying, which kind of sucks. So Justice won the first two maps pretty cleanly. Like, it was 2-0. Everything was going great. It looked like this was like an easy 3-0. It was like a great night.
We were excited.
Yeah, like this is a good way to end the homestand. You know, Justice get a good win. The
first win at home. We were excited for it.
Yeah. They come out on map 3, Dorado.
Oh.
And the absolute craziest, most crushing defeat I have ever seen in Overwatch, like... History. Even in games I've played myself, we've managed to move the payload further at our worst. Like, I've had bad games where, like, we didn't get it very far. You know, like, it just, like, the communication wasn't there and the other team was good, whatever. Like, London is not that good. But what they did was they spawn camped the Justice for 4 entire minutes. And, like, I don't know what happened, if, like, the Justice communication broke down or they got flustered. Because there was, like... When you're spawn camping, you get one or two picks. Like, your team can... your spawns are right there. You can easily overpower everyone.
Yeah.
They can't get back fast enough to really put up a good fight. They were getting, like, a pick here and there, but they weren't... Like, they just kept running into the same problems, and, like, they weren't switching their characters. I don't know what happened there. Like, this is... It's, if you want to watch, like, fascinatingly... bad Overwatch, and not like in the Houston Boston sort of way, but like in a team just completely breaks down, and like this is like
Did they panic?
It's some sort of panic. Something like they were sick. So like they weren't like, they didn't take like 10 seconds and like take a deep breath and be like, okay, look, what do we need to actually do to break this real fast?
Because there were moments where I thought like, oh, they got this now. They figured it out.
And then like it just, it didn't materialize.
They
got like a pick.
And they couldn't capitalize on it.
Yeah, like they would, and then the other team would use like an ultimate or something and just mess everything up again. And it was like, sometimes teams spawn cap to buy like a minute or two, like waste some time off the clock. But eventually, with the spawn advantage, you're going to get them, and eventually the payload's going to start moving. I think they made it 4 meters.
5.8, I think it was. Okay, it was less than six.
Yeah, yeah. It was really short. Like
it's like the shortest in the Overwatch professional league.
Yeah, yeah, shortest in professional history. Shortest I've ever seen in any Overwatch match ever. Like, I've had some pretty good holds and been held pretty hard sometimes. But we've made it further than 4 meters. Yeah. Like, we've been... That was, like...
It was shocking to watch.
It was shocking to watch. And, like, you could... Like, the enthusiasm in the entire arena just plummeted. Like I felt bad for the players because, like, that was, like, just, like, a mental fuck. Like, what the hell happened there?
What I didn't realize is then they had to switch sides. Like, they had to then prevent the other team going 6 meters.
Yeah, like, they had to... They had the option. They could have done a full hold and, like... If they had pulled off the same thing, but they didn't. Like, it was too much of a mental thing of, like, how the hell does that happen? And so then the fourth match, it was clear, like, they had some good plays in the fourth match, but you could tell they're, like, they were out of it. Like, then the fifth match, the fifth match was a control map where you do King of the Hill, first team to 100%. I think it went 99-99 for all three matches.
It was close.
It was so close. And, like, there was, like, a heroic Earth Shatter on map three that looked like it was going to seal the deal. And then Corey got picked off before the very final fight. And that was just, like, the London ended up winning. And so it was just, like, this entire, like... The crowd got deflated for maps 3 and 4, and then 5 came around, and, like, the Justice were putting up a fight again.
Yeah.
And, like, we were, like, everyone was excited, everyone was on their feet, and then that last moment, and it just was, like, crushing.
It was a good crowd. Like,
the crowd was into it, which is what made it, like, hurt so much. Like, yeah. And anyway, so I came out, and I felt, like, super bad, and... Now I'm better, obviously, but, like, that was, like, the first, I was so into that match, and, like, that was, emotionally draining somehow. Like, I gotta say it, I love Overwatch League. Like, I love this, I'm gonna go see another match, I have to, like, that was so much fun.
How have we been doing since then?
So, we didn't play last week, and we've got another homestand this coming weekend.
Ah.
So we'll see how we go. We're playing against Boston, which should be a win.
I mean,
we're not sick anymore. Yeah. So, like, everyone's predicting the Justice have got this one in the bag. So I don't, after London, it's a good monkey off your back game. Like, if they win this one pretty decisively or even just win it, there won't be, like, oh, shit. Because, like, they've moved on from London. They've regathered themselves. They're good to go. But if they lose this one, we've got problems. Because then Sunday we're playing New York.
Ooh, and New York's pretty good.
Yeah, New York's really good. And so Hero Pool started, which means heroes are banned this week. And so, like, the way Hero Pools are working is... They analyze the data of what heroes are played for the past 2 weeks in all the matches, and any player or any hero that gets over 10% playtime goes into a lottery. And they pull out one tank, two DPS, and one support, and those characters are banned for the next week.
And it's a lottery, so it's not like if you've... Like, if somebody's 50% or so, they're not at a higher risk than a 30 or so.
Correct. And so the characters that got banned were McCree and Widowmaker.
Of course. McCree. Widowmaker, I didn't know it was played that often, but fair.
Yeah, it's more than 10%.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was hoping May to be banned.
Yeah.
Because, like, makes sense. Yeah. But, like, McCree and May were the two most popular, most used DPS. So
like someone could get rid of a Reinhardt?
Reinhardt was banned.
How do you play without a Reinhardt?
That's what we'll see this coming week. And then Moira, the support hero, was banned. But like that one was like just like I think she was like 10.8% or something. Yeah. So she was just like barely qualified. So like
that makes it interesting though, where you kind of want to balance out what you play to try to, or do you think people will get that?
That's why they did like the 10% thing, to try to like make it so people aren't being like trying to game the system sort of thing. But yeah, so we'll see, because Corey, our star player, is really good on McCree and Widowmaker, but he's also good on Hanzo. So okay. We'll see how, I'm interested to see how it turns out.
It's always going to be one, like...
So, like, the way after this week happens, mm-hmm. they're going to take the data from last weekend and this weekend and draw four new heroes for the next weekend. So, basically, they'll have, like, a week prep time each.
And whoever's been canceled for a week automatically is probably coming back.
It's coming back the next week.
Because they're not being used that
much. Because they're not being used at all. I think they put in a rule that, like, they can't be banned in back-to-back weeks. Like, it always has to cycle.
So I'm wondering, could this completely knock out a player's skill set of where...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They
only know, like, certain characters and
they're absolutely. Both like, hit scan players who are the best on McCree and Widowmaker are kind of fucked. Because, like, the only other good hit stan is, like, Soldier 76, but he's not really great in this meta.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how teams adapt to this. And I'm really curious to see how it affects the game.
Is this, like, a permanent change?
Yes. It's going to be happening every week from now. And it's also happening in the actual Overwatch game itself in the competitive mode.
Oh.
But they have different heroes banned. They have ones based on the actual game played, not Overwatch League. Mm-hmm. I think they banned Hanzo and Mei in the game, and then I think...
Just for a week at a time.
Just for a week. Okay. I think... I don't remember who the support and tank are, but I remember it was Hanzo and Mei.
And it's separate, so that way, players can't like try to influence their favorite team by like playing somebody more or try to get it banned. Yeah.
Okay, do you want to do one real quick cauldron number?
Sure. Yeah, which numbers are we on?
So we did 80s for a bit. I think it's about time to move on to the 70s. What do you think?
Have we hit the actual number 80?
No.
Because that's always
so like, are we just going to go down?
You're going to let me pick arbitrary numbers, but I want to hit the fives.
Like,
or do you want me to really hit, like, prime numbers and stuff?
I mean, it's up to you, but, like.
I feel like for the people out there, they want, like, for some reason, the fifth digits have legitimacy. Otherwise, I'm going to, like, pick prime numbers.
Well, you can pick whatever you want, but right now we're picking from 71 to 80. So, pick me a number.
I really like the number 81.
Well, that's not what we're picking.
Oh, damn it. You're right.
I said 71 to 80.
Fine, 80, just to preserve the last.
Okay. All right. We're picking 80. So, number 80 on my list of top 100 games of the decade is Bayonetta 2.
Bayonetta 2. I mean, I know Bayonetta as a Smash person. I don't know how old her games are.
So,
yeah.
Bayonetta came out originally, I believe, on the 360 and the PS3. I don't remember if it... I think it might have been 2009. I don't think it was this decade. And it didn't do very well. It's a platinum action game, similar to, like, Devil May Cry.
Platinum action game?
Like, Platinum is the name of the studio. Platinum Games. And so it's an action game. The main character, Bayonetta, is like this witch. Her suit, her outfit is her hair. Like when you do like the super duper moves, she like summons demons with her hair and she becomes naked. You know, like it's a cheesy game. Like there isn't any actual nudity. It's just like she's like
implied.
Implied nudity, but you never actually see anything. Mm-hmm. And like it's a one of those like empowered characters, like she she's in control of her sins, where like other people are using her for her sexuality. She is like
she chooses to get naked and do
like,
this stuff.
I wouldn't say like put it in that direction. I would say it's more like, yes, she like talks about her sexuality and like makes...
This sounds like the weirdest game. Like, this is probably not the brunt of what the game is
about. Yeah, no, it's not what the brunt of the game is about as at all, but, like, there's, like, the main male character is, like, a complete doof. You know, she's, like, the one in control most of the time. Like, it's not like a, oh, woe is me, you know. Yeah. Anyway.
Bayonetta 2.
So Bayonetta 2 was a very weird situation because Bayonetta didn't sell very well. And, like, it was fun. It was a good game. Like, I liked that the action was good. But what ended up happening was Nintendo, for some weird reason, chose to fund Platinum Games and funded Bayonetta 2. So Bayonetta 2 was a Wii U exclusive.
This sounds Wii U exclusive.
Yes.
Okay.
That's about where we're at. So not a lot of people got to play that either. Yeah. But I did. It was one of the reasons I got a Wii U. I still regret that decision. But the game itself is fantastic. Like, it doesn't use like the weird iPad-y tablet Wii U thing. Like, it's just play it with a controller. It's fine. It's a good action game. I think it's better than the first Bayonetta. Like, it has some really great bosses. I had a lot of fun. I even played through a second time on, like, harder difficulty mode. I ended up getting stuck at one particular enemy that sucked. But in general, like, I really like the game a lot. I highly recommend it. They re-released it. Like, they pretty much re-released everything on Wii U on Switch.
Okay.
You can get it. They released a Bayonetta 2, like, double pack sort of thing. You get both games. I think, like, Bayonetta 2 is on the disc, but Bayonetta is a download code or vice versa. Something like that. But either way, you get both games. So you can play it without getting a Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there was such a fucking mess on the internet when Bayonetta 2 was announced as a Wii U exclusive. Because, like, everyone was fucking losing their minds. Like, I don't want to get a Nintendo system. Why can't they just release this for Xbox? Blah, blah, blah. Like, it was a huge controversy. But it was still a good game. It's number 80 on my list. I'm not, like, a huge action game fan overall. But, like, the ones I do choose to play, you know, I like it a lot. And I have Bayonetta 3 pre-ordered. They announced it, I think, in 2017. No information given since then. Who knows when it'll actually come out. But I have it on pre-order.
How early in advance do you pre-order things?
So I specifically pre-ordered Bayonetta 3 because the Amazon deal for pre-ordering was stopping. And so I kind of pre-ordered a bunch of things I knew I was going to get eventually. So I got, like, the extra 20% off just because. And I could cancel it if I wanted to, but, like, you know.
I think you mentioned this a while back, actually. So this has been going on for some time.
Well, so, like, I think the actual deal Amazon ended in 2018, which is when I pre-ordered all the stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that Bayonetta 3 is the last holdout. Like, it's the last game that I used that for that I still haven't gotten. I think Fire Emblem Three Houses I used the discount for. I famously got, you guys know that obviously. Now, I got Far Cry 5, and when I got Far Cry 5, I got talked into getting the Best Buy Gamers Club discount when I got it. And it was like $20 at the time. You got $20 to join the club. And for 2 years, I got like 20% off. It was basically Best Buy's competition with Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon ended theirs. And I then, so like a month after I got, So the other, Amazon was the last one to end theirs. That's what happened. But like, it was literally a month after I had joined the club, Best Buy was like, we're not offering this anymore. Anyone who still has it can get it until it expires, but we're not doing this anymore. It
expires in a month. They're not going to, like...
So I've been pre-ordering everything from Best Buy because I still get their discount for the 2 years. So I bought Far Cry 5 at the end of March 2018, which means in about a week or two, I'm going to go on another pre-order spree and just, like, put a bunch of shit down and then maybe cancel them later if I don't want them or whatever. But use, like, this is my last hurrah with the Best Buy Gamer Club getting the discount on pre-orders.
So when you pre-order, are you like predicting basically like this is going to be a good game or so? Or are you picking like the greatest hits that you know you want?
I mean, I'm mostly picking the ones that I know I'm going to buy anyway. Like, I'm not being like, oh, well, I might as well buy, use this to get.
Cancel it.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm going down the list. I like Final Fantasy VII, mm-hmm. I got through Best Buy. Doom Eternal, I got through Best Buy. Yeah, so like things I'm already buying. I'm not buying everything under the sun and then picking and choosing because like I know me, I would forget and I would end up buying a shit ton of games and never having time to play any of them. Mm. Okay, so that was real quick the Countdown Cauldron. I realize I didn't actually introduce the segment, but you know, if you don't get it, this. If you don't get it, you don't get it. I'm out of water and I'm thirsty. Oh well. All right, so the other thing I did was last weekend, I spent 4 days at PAX East. I'm not going to go too in-depth with everything because I wrote a blog post that you can read at tmanwrites.com that summarizes, gives a little paragraph or two about every game I played at PAX, which was, I got in a decent amount of playtime. Did you read that?
I didn't want to spoil myself. So I did not.
Okay. So it would have been a lot more helpful if you had actually read it, because that way I could have been like, so what would you like me to talk about? That what sounded interesting to you?
So I actually had lots of questions about this.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and just ask me questions about it?
Okay.
And we'll kind of do that in this segment,
this is
as opposed
be
to
the Make Me a Gamer section of where this is a realm of gaming that I am unfamiliar with.
Okay. Yeah,
why
sure.
Why should I go to a con? Is a con meant for like casual people like me?
So, it depends. Like, PAX is a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. I would probably say someone like you would not go to E3 and, like, definitely not GDC. I wouldn't even go to GDC.
Those seem like more for media or reviews.
Yeah, those are, like, media. And, like, they opened up E3 to fans a couple years ago, which is how I got to go. But even then, it's much more of a trade show. There isn't a lot to do outside of standing in line playing games.
Mm-hmm. Like PAX, I know it's the Penny Arcade one, right?
Yeah, PAX is Penny Arcade Expo. And so they have like a wide variety of things going on. So first, there are panels.
Okay.
Like there's like 6 or 7 theaters dedicated to like having different panels going on throughout the day. I went to a lot of panels. I follow a lot of people on Twitter that were on PAX panels this year, and I went to see them. They were all very good. And the panels can range from informative stuff. Like, I went to one about how to market yourself because I want to market my podcast better. But then there was one that was ranking all the Final Fantasy spinoffs. Like, what's the best Final Fantasy spinoff? So, like, there are game-related ones, there are board game-related ones, podcast-related ones, general, all sorts of different stuff. You can pick and choose what looks interesting to you. You can go to these panels. And these are all off the show floor. Then the show floor itself has a bunch of game booths from like major companies like Square Enix and Sony to the Indie Mega Booth, which is a bunch of like smaller studios that are showing off their games. But then there's also board games because PAX, Penny Arcade also does like tabletop RPGs and board games. So there's like dice vendors and, you know, placemats and board games and like new board games and Kickstarter games. And then there's like an entire section dedicated to just tables you can play games at. There's a giant like PC LAN place where you can like just for free walk into or stand in line first. But you get like to go in and play on a PC for like 45 minutes if you just want to hang out and play Gang Beasts with your friends. You know, like there's like a giant LAN setup where you can just like play with each other.
Because I know you put up reviews and stuff for games, but I'm wondering like, because to me the appeal is like, I'm not a big, I want to play a demo kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this, my imagination would be, you're going around and just playing demos of future games.
So that is like the main section of the floor, yes. That is what that is all dedicated to. But you can, there's like a console room where you can like rent a console and just like if you want to sit down and play Smash with your friends for 12 hours, you can do that in the room. They have like a Jackbox stage set up where like people while they're eating can like sit down and play on Jackbox games on their phone. You know, it's just first come, first serve. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, there's tables where you can play board games. There's land setups where you can do that. There's a lot of people go to PAX, especially in like games media. And like one of the main reasons I'm there is to like see new games, mm-hmm. see stuff, get to actually like physically see stuff, not just like a trailer and kind of see how a game plays, you know, that sort of stuff. But it's not the only thing. Like, I remember I was in line, I think it was last year. I was in line Sunday morning and like two guys were talking behind me and like their plan was to just head over to the tabletop area, grab a couple board games and just play board games all day. And like they have like a giant station where they have games you can rent out and like, mm-hmm. like a library sort of thing. And so, like I said, with the consoles, they have that sort of game library too. There's tournaments if you want to join like a specific board game tournament or a specific video game tournament if you want to play against mm-hmm. other people and win prizes. So there's all sorts of different stuff going on. And so I would say PAX is much more casual friendly because there is a lot of options mm-hmm. and you don't have to be like stand in line, play a new game.
And is PAX then indicative or is PAX the friendliest of like,
I would say PAX is the friendliest for fans.
Okay.
I've been to RTX. So the different gaming conventions I've been to, PAX East, I've been to PAX West, I've been to PAX Unplugged, I've been to RTX, E3, and MAGFest. Those are all the ones I've been to. PAX West and East are basically functionally similar, just location. One's in Seattle, one's in Boston. PAX Unplugged is completely board game focused. So it's all board game vendors, all like tabletop stuff. There are still mm-hmm. panels and everything, but it's all focused on board games. So there's no video game stuff mm-hmm. there. RTX is similar to PAX in a lot of ways, but is much more like specifically Rooster Teeth heavy. Where like, yes, it's the Penny Arcade Expo and they have stuff like ACK Inc. They have like, you know, Tycho and Gabe doing like a panel here or there.
At RTS.
At PAX.
Oh, at PAX.
At yeah. PAX. You know, like there is like, it is the Penny Arcade Expo and they have like Penny Arcade and like pins yeah. with like Gabe and Tycho and that sort of stuff. There is a lot of more general things to do. Like it is not really focused on PAX or like Penny Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just all ACK Inc. and ACK Inc. panels and that sort of thing. Whereas RTX still has like the game floor and like the show floor and like it's, there's less big names there. You're not, I don't think there was like a Sony booth where you could play games. There was some things where you could like play and mess around. It's a lot more art focused. There's a lot of like art vendors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there wasn't games, but it was less of a big deal. And it was more like all the panels were more like meet Rooster Teeth people or like this is a, you know, they're the Achievement Hunter Live. This is the Funhouse Live. This is, you know, Red and Blue Live or Red mm-hmm. versus Blue Live. Or this is all the Rooster Teeth people play Cards Against Humanity, you mm-hmm. know. So and there were some like subsets, but it was a lot more. You're going to this con and seeing a lot of things under the Rooster Teeth umbrella. And so, like, if you're not a huge fan of Rooster Teeth, you miss out on a lot, and there's less impetus to go to it.
Mm-hmm.
While PAX has evolved into a way, it's like meeting, like, if E3 is, like, the media only, and RTX is, like, fans of a specific thing only, PAX is kind of, like, in the middle, where, like, it's got a little bit of everything for everyone. And just to top it off, because I mentioned MAGFest is... Like it's also not going to get like a bunch of huge games, but it will have demos. It will have like arcade games, but MAG is, I think it stands for music and games. Yeah. So it's a lot more focused on the music aspects. There's a lot of panels on like how to make music. There's like concerts by like Ninja Sex Party was at the one I was at. So that's what that kind of demographic is. It's more in the musical nature and that relates to video games.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of MAGFest. I had a friend who sets up the stuff,
mm-hmm.
like the bookings and stuff like that. And so,
yeah, that's that one. Like, I never end up going to it because it's local. Mm-hmm. And like, so I don't like plan to get, go to PAX. I have to plan like a trip. Mm-hmm. Whereas like MAGFest is like, I might pop in, and then I never actually do it. But like, mm-hmm. It's like, it's not down the street, but it's local enough that I could theoretically just go over for a Saturday and then come back home. Like I wouldn't have to get a hotel or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is there like, so is it like a convention center, like a single building, or do you have to go all over town?
PAX East is in the Boston Convention Center, and pretty much everything is in that, unless you go to like side parties or get-togethers or things like that.
Because, so I'm relating it to another big convention type thing coming up, WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania is on a Sunday, but the lead up to WrestleMania, independent wrestling companies will have shows because it's a large audience that's going to go to a specific niche event,
right,
like all around town. And so there's stuff you can do outside of the center that is related to the main thing. So is that like,
so not
like bars and stuff cashing in on, hey, so there's sort a bunch of gamers. So sort here. Of
like you can spend the entire time at the convention center and like have a good time. And there isn't like a lot of stuff going on outside. But like I said, there, like I went to a podcast meetup on two nights. Like on Thursday night, I went to one podcast meetup, SDGC. They're very great. You should listen to them if you don't. Then Friday, I went to What's Good Games podcast meetup. They're also great. You should listen to them if you don't. But like both of SDGC meetup, SDGC. Yes, I said it right. I have so much trouble saying that. We ended up like trying to walk to a place to eat. Because, like, we met at the convention center and, like, let's go eat somewhere because we were all wanted to have dinner. And the first place we went to was closed, so we just ended up wandering aimlessly for a bit before someone actually, like, was like, hey, there's a place to... Anyway, so that one was kind of just, like, very informal, like, wandering around until we found a place to eat. The Watch Good Game meetup was scheduled at a bar. Mm-hmm. They ended up not having a whole ton of space. They ended up moving to a Dueling Pianos bar, but I didn't follow... because I was going back for another panel to go see. So like those types of meetups happen outside the convention center. And there was like a couple different things happening where there was like, do you want to get into esports? We're meeting here from 5 to 7 and having like a small get together where mm-hmm. you can like pitch a thing. Or, and like I went to a Rooster Teeth community after party on Saturday, which was at like a place on the harbor for like a couple hours, and that wasn't in the convention center. So like, yes, there are things happening outside the convention center, but like they're usually specific, like community oriented mm-hmm. thing of things you would go to if you already like know people or like want to mm-hmm. meet people. It's not necessarily like another group trying to cash in on PAX, you know, that sort of thing.
Got it. Is PAX always in Boston and Seattle?
Yeah. PAX East is always in Boston. PAX West is always Seattle. I think PAX South...
Austin?
It's either Austin or Houston. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one, but it's in Texas.
Yeah.
And then I think they have a PAX Australia, but we're not going to be going to that one. But yeah, so it's unless they change it or for some reason the convention center doesn't want to have them anymore, it will always be in Boston and Seattle. Like they have it in the same city every year.
Got it. Yeah, those were my kind of like, yes, I didn't read about the video games and stuff because, again, demos and stuff, there are games I'm interested in. I don't know if you actually went and saw them because I've just heard rumors of these games.
Like what?
So one I know exists, and I saw a demo. Baldur's, like that way, I was like, well, if you're going to ask, I might as well get this one in. So games I'm looking forward to, Baldur's Gate 3.
All right, that was not at PAX.
Okay.
Yeah, the demo, a lot of people were talking about it at PAX, mm-hmm. but there was no demo to play it. I think the event was in New York. Like it wasn't, the event itself wasn't even at PAX.
Oh, there was an event for it.
Yeah, the media got to play it or like see a demo.
So that's why it was in the news recently, because why did I see this? The other one, I don't even know if it exists or if it's a rumor.
I like how you're talking about these games like Bigfoot, like, is the Chupacabra at PAX?
I mean, because I don't get because if I'm paying attention to this game, so there's two that, one you hinted and one I saw. The, you hinted XCOM 3, did we hear anything?
No.
Okay. My XCOM watch. The other...
You will know for me if XCOM 3 is announced. Okay. Trust me.
So I heard somewhere, i.e. the internet, i.e. maybe Twitter or maybe YouTube.
The Chupacabra.
Like... they're not remaking, but they're making a new Final Fantasy Tactics game.
Okay. I need to know where you heard this rumor from, because...
So I was watching something.
Okay.
And, like, I saw cutscenes of, like, Ramza, the main character in his squire outfit from, like, Final Fantasy Tactics.
Uh-huh.
In, like, his suit of armor. Like, the painted. So not game, like, pixel footage, but, like, him all painted up. And, like, they were mentioning they're making a new Final Fantasy game that's coming out soon. Or, like, a new Final Fantasy thing. But I don't know if it's a remake, but they seem to imply a new turn-based strategy game. Would that not be Tactics?
I'm going to have to look into this, because I haven't heard anything about this.
And there was a Chocobo.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, like, a really bad mobile game that they're talking about.
Which is a worry. Like, yes, yeah. I have been burned by that.
I'd have to look into it.
Because there's
no I have not heard footage. Anything about this.
Okay.
And the circles I run, if there was a new Final Fantasy Tactics or anything to do with Ramza and the old game, I would hear about it. Like, I would have...
The other one, is he going to be like a Smash character, perhaps? They started to release a bunch of Sword Smash people. Or, like, people were commenting, like, there's, like, the new battle pack has, like, 5 swordy people. One of them might have been the Ramza guy.
Wait, new battle pack?
For Smash? Or was that, like, a meme that I just saw and somebody was, like, making a joke of, like...
Yeah, that was probably just a meme. Yeah, you're going to have to give me more than what you've just given me. Because, like...
So that one would be, like, whatever the Smash Battle Pack, they're releasing it all at once.
Yeah, no, that's a meme. That's definitely
okay, that's true. A hoax.
Yeah, that's
fake news.
Yeah.
Okay.
What in the world did you see then?
Because, like, he was all painted up, and that one looked like it could have been from, like, the old games. Like, just having him as a player.
Yeah, you probably just saw somebody's wishful thinking somewhere, because there hasn't been
any Tactics news. Or I think they were trolling, like, news. Apparently sword characters are not liked in Smash.
Yes.
And so this was a battle pack of nothing but sword people.
Okay, yeah. If you had led with that, I would have told you that was a troll.
Okay. I kind of was like, oh, I wouldn't mind playing Ramza in Final Fantasy in the Smash world. No,
you got trolled.
Okay. But I'm hoping. They said new... Tactics game in the Final Fantasy world. The only one.
So this is separate from that.
That's separate from that. Yeah, these
new
were
new tactics that, in Final Fantasy.
Is there a new Final Fantasy turn-based strategy game, as they phrased it, coming out or being developed? Or there was no gameplay footage.
Okay.
There's just that artwork, watercolor style.
Like,
and it was like a video.
So Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming out next month.
But that's not a turn-based strategy game, is it?
Like. No.
And I think, like, I recognize Cloud.
I can't imagine. I can't. You're going to have to, like, find it and link me to it.
Okay.
Because this is not anything I've heard about, which means it's probably a rumor that
also
doesn't actually have a lot of traction.
Like, why is Final Fantasy releasing 2 things? I'm sure they're probably focusing on the Final Fantasy stuff, right? As in, like...
Yeah, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake has been their main focus of Final Fantasy.
There's not been, like, some secret Final Fantasy project out there.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to look into it, and you'll have to show me what you saw, because, yeah.
Again, my news sources are, like, Twitter.
Yeah, that's not a reliable news source, you realize.
Yeah, because I don't think it would have been on, like, unless it was, like, a YouTube ad, but I don't think so. The other thing, though, is, so Final Fantasy... 7 seems like an interesting game.
Yes.
People seem to like it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wondering, would I like it?
You can play it on your Switch.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, it seems to be on the Switch. Maybe I should get this game.
It's a turn-based Final Fantasy game.
So is it, like, so I've heard they've changed things up, and, like, somebody was saying, like, it's a really complicated system or so, like, how to play it, but I'm like,
I mean,
I know how to play games. I think
I think you'd be fine with the old school Final Fantasy VII.
Because I don't really know the plot.
I would just,
should I get this game?
I.
It's the weirdest question. Like 10 years later, like, hey, should I play Final Fantasy VII? I've heard.
I mean,
good things
I would
about.
Say yes. I think,
like, the original was on my list of games to play, and then I saw the graphics, and it's, and I don't have a PlayStation right now that would run it, but yeah. Like. It's been on my, I wish I had played it back in the day.
Well, I mean, I think it still holds up. And plus, the updated versions on, like, the Switch and PS4 have, like, a fast-forward mode where you can kind of, like, make the battles go a little faster. So you don't have to, like, the turn-based stuff doesn't take as much time. So, like, there are slight improvements that allow you mm-hmm. to kind of get through it. I would suggest giving it a try if you find time to game. That's it's still like a 30-hour RPG.
Which, compared to like my previous, like what I play, 30 hours is seems short in a way.
It's not as long as Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Yeah.
And
that I enjoyed and
I would say through. 30 to 40 hours is probably a good estimate, but that also could be like me knowing what to do and where everything is and everything.
And so, me as a gamer, I'm not that. And also, is it 30 to 40 you think, like, so this is the other part. Hey, it's being split up into multiple games, isn't it?
So like, yes.
But the way it seems
the
to
sound.
The
new one is going to be split up into multiple games, and they're promising like each edition will be its own like 30 to 40 hour game.
Which then gets me into, like, to be, like, the price tag person. Is it worth buying, like, is it going to be three games? Or is it, like, one game split up into three?
Nobody knows.
The cost-wise, I'm like, if I'm buying three different Fire Emblems, goddammit. Fire Emblem gave me one
We're talking about the original, which is all one game already.
But where would I get that?
On Switch.
Wait.
This is what I'm telling you. The original Final Fantasy VII is on Switch. That's what you can play on Switch. You cannot play the new one on Switch.
Wait, I can't?
No, that one is not... It's only on PS4.
What?
Yeah.
I was all excited about the new one.
No, yeah, no, sorry. You have to have a PS4 for that. Or an Xbox One, I think, in a year. But...
What? Maybe a PC. Is there any plans to release it on the Switch?
Probably not, based on the graphical capabilities.
Oh, my poor Switch.
You never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, the original is the one that's on Switch.
So the original being the blocky characters one.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's what was... I was like, as a kid, I would have appreciated this is top-of-the-line graphics. I'm spoiled now. And I'm like, oh, these are clunky, blocky characters that I'm sure the plot is wonderful, but
Okay. Well...
So I got my hopes up. I was going to think about that new one.
Yeah, no. You're going to have a PS4 if you want that.
Motherfucker.
I'm going to get you. Yeah. You might want to wait until PS5, though. Anyway, I am starting to feel lightheaded, and I haven't had dinner yet. So, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Where can they find you, Harvey Z?
They can find me on Twitter at TheZIsSilent.
You can find me on Twitter at TManPlaysGames. You can find my podcast at Make Me a Podcast. Our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. As I said before, you can find my writings at tmanwrites.com, and you can always email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. I also recently changed my Twitch name to Actually T-Man, so now I have brand recognition across all of them. I don't really stream much, but if you see me on like a Twitch channel commenting or whatever, that's
me. Actually T-Man.
It's Actually T-Man, because all the regular T-Man stuff was taken. Like, I tried T-Man on Twitch. I tried T-Man playing games.
Ever think of Twitch Man?
I'm not going to be Twitch Man. And also, that's probably taken. Let's be real. But yeah, I'm actually T-Man, and I'm on Twitch. So that's it. We're ending here. I hope you enjoyed our Overwatch League and PAX discussion. It was a kind of a focused episode, but those were the big things that happened. And, next time I see you, I will not be wearing glasses anymore, hopefully. I will also hopefully not be blind, but, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Blasting your eyes with lasers.
Yep, I'm getting lasered.
The reverse kaiju.
God damn it.